for personal computing is it? Or who heard these words before? Nice. Okay, so this will be a very nice journey for you, and I will be really happy to drive you through the more personal computing era. What is it, more personal computing? More personal computing, I think a sentence that I like is about to create magical experience for computer that doesn't seem computer. These are two applications that they are quite old, but they are running Windows. And as you can see, you see children, 3 years old, 5 years old, or on the other side, an iPad on a Windows machine. This is something emotional for me. And this is the concept between more personal computing, how to make more personal the human-computer interaction. So today we have some tools, some instrument as developer how to do it. And these tools are ink, speech, identity, vision, like computer vision. You see a Kinect camera over there. Touch, because Windows 10 is based on touch, as we will see in this journey. And also virtual reality. Virtual reality, I use virtual reality as word, as a comprehensive word to comprehend virtual reality, augmented reality, mixed reality, and whatever will come. So, where everything starts. Back in 2001, I started following a scientist at Microsoft Research, and he was working on a paper, on a research about how to use touch on a rear display. The project was codenamed Touch Light, and the scientist was Andy Wilson. That is actually people that I met several times and that I talked, and I love to talk with him because he is the father, about me, he is the father of what later, years later, will be named as natural user interfaces, and later on, more personal computing or emerging experiences. Out of the TouchLight project in 2008, Microsoft came out with the Surface Table. There will be some intermediate step in 2004, 2005, and then 2008, the Surface Table came out. And this was a machine, this was a computer running Windows Vista. So what you see there is something that is running on Windows. This is what we, in this part of the ocean, we was doing, based on the research, on the talk we had, and also because the cost of the hardware was quite high, we decided to go our way. And this is an application that is running on a shop window, and all the hardware is inside. So users can interact with this interface all the time. Keep in mind that this was 2009. I think you saw some example around on some shop windows right now. And this is Windows 7 and WPF. So again, Windows. 2012, we had the switch from the Surface 1 and the Surface 2. This was an epical switch for us because we was waiting for this new device, but it was not that successful. And then Microsoft acquired Perspective Pixel, and Perspective Pixel becomes what now we know as the Surface Hub. And this is a Windows 8 application running Universal Windows or Windows RT and XAML that I showcased in Redmond at the MVP Summit on 2013. And it was actually a Surface Hub prototype. In 2015, we got the Surface Hub. And this is another device that will be added to the Windows device family. And this is a new way of interacting with technology because, first of all, this is a team family, a Windows 10 team family, so it's running Windows 10. So any Universal Windows application runs on this device. It has touch and ink enabled. Okay, so this is a bit a timeline to resume what's going to happen before Windows 10. Before Windows 10, we have in 60 and 70 some prototypes. Then 80 and 90 was the era of mouse. 90 and 2000 was the era of touch and inking, was start approaching. Then we have 2000 to 2010, where there was the explosion. There was the iPhone. There was the Surface Table. There was the iPad, a lot of cool stuff. And then Windows 10 comes. And why I think to the Windows 10 like an era? Because there is a huge switch. If you remember, even with a mouse back in 90, you have to load a driver to use the mouse. Same back in 2010, if you want to use a touch device, you need compatibility, you need middleware, anything. It was scaring as a developer to develop because you was developing some things that relies to that particular hardware. What was introduced with Windows 10 was the concept of families. So now we have, for example, computer vision, and I will show you later on this speech how we can use different hardware with the same API. Same happens with Dial. This is the new device that was presented last month in New York. Same happen with anything. Imagine that now you can run Windows on any device, but not only phone, tablet, and desktop, but you can run it on any ARM architecture. That means, okay, phone is over, but imagine if you can run, actually you can run Windows on a washing machine. You can run Windows on a mirror. You can run Windows on a fridge or anywhere on a giant 84-inch devices. And you can run it by just developing your application, not caring about the hardware. This is the huge switch that I think is something very, very important. So let's start our journey with ink. Before Windows 8, and then with Windows 10 it was going better, we have different stack for touch, mouse, and ink. With Windows 10, they was unified. So we have just one event, and on the event, we can check if it is a pen, if it is a mouse, or if it is a touch. Okay, so for this the inking support for a PC is more reliable, more simple to develop for us, and also there are some easy building blocks for us. I want to make a step back. Because I was talking about you, about this more personal computing, this magic and this kind of stuff. So I want to show you a video. This is my son. It was 5 years using a touch interface. And we made some research on how to human can interact with devices. So as soon as the Surface version 1, the tablet one, came out, he got his own one. And then he came to me. It was Christmas, some Christmas ago. And he asked, "Daddy, I want to ask Santa an iPad." Oh my God. My heart was broken down. Why? Because at that time, the user interface of the iPad was better for children. So what we have to do now as developer, when we develop an application, we have to develop it keeping in mind that now we have a lot of tool to develop, and we have to use it to make the user experience even more personal. That was why I want to make a step back. So we were talking about inking. Oops, it was already open, by the way. Okay, so let's close this. Okay, so about inking. Now, I'm sorry, I get some, this is a laptop with touch and ink enabled, but it's running on some Windows Visual Studio 2017, something that crashed up, but I will try to figure out to show you even without. So we were talking about inking, right? But now the way we have to ink on Windows, which they are, we can use the virtual keyboard, or we can switch to the inking one. I can't here because it's not touch enabled. So you can just ink on this layer, right? When you have the keyboard, you can switch and just ink over there. And then the text box that is focused get the ink. But this is not really natural, right? We want to give the user an experience so he is more comfortable. We want to give to my son an experience so he don't want an iPad anymore. He wants a Surface, right? So how to do it? This is something that was already shown, but there wasn't a control for that. So what I want to do is just, you see, we have a text box, and what I want to do is to ink above the text box. It will come. This is a GIF. Okay. Imagine that I am inking on the text box, and then as soon as I finish to ink on the text gets recognized, right? And this is something that makes the user experience a bit more personal. To make an experience more personal is to add some little step. There was a colleague some years ago that he was saying me, "John, we develop animation. We keep weeks, months to develop animation that lasts a fraction of a second for the user, hoping that the user notice it. The user won't notice the little animation. The user will have a feeling on the overall experience of the application. So another trick is to give visual feedback. So let's discuss later. Let's see this. So this is my GitHub repository. Later on, I will tweet all the source code, and I created a set of controls for you to use and help me develop, extend them. so that we have the into text box. I talked about this also with Jerry Nixon some weeks ago. And let's see how it works. So again, this is a control. So now I will show you how it works. But then it's on you if you want to use the source code, if you want to implement it, or if you want just to use the control, right? So at the end, let's start with the ink to text box. It's nothing else than a canvas, right? So actually we can write on the canvas. I have just extended it. So this is on the repository. You have all the control and a test application that shows how to use any control that we will see in these samples. So let's start with the ink to text box. So just unblank it, remove it, unrem it, and then there is a control that is ink to text canvas, right? And the usage is pretty simple. You can develop your stack and then add a layer upon. Keep in mind that now this is a canvas, right? So in the visual tree, it has to stay a layer behind others to make it work. So just develop your code, your XAML, and then add the ink to text box, right? As soon as you add the ink to text box, you will have this effect. You will have the effect that you can type on your text. So let's see how it works. Okay, the ink to text box is it has a little part on the themes, on the template, but as you can see, it is just an ink to text canvas. As you know, for the naming convention, when you are going to retemplate, if you get something that is, named as part, you don't have to override it, otherwise the control should not work. So you can do everything you want. You have just to let the canvas. And then let's see how it works. Ink to text canvas. So when the control is created, I just define a timer, right? And what does the timer do? These are some properties, so that you can attach the different pen colors and the pen tip, the sides, etc. And then when the template is applying, we are going to find the ink canvas. And if we find it, so if it was not overridden, we had some handler. We had some handler, and you see this is pointer. But pointer is anything. Pointer is the mouse, pointer is the touch, pointer is the ink. Let's see. Then, if my pointer is pen, do something, right? If not, do not care about it. So, and what this is doing is just to recognize. Okay, you can use one canvas for a lot of text box. So first of all, we are recognizing which text box we are using, which input field. And I think to do together as community activity will be to extend this to other input field, for example. That will be a nice idea. So I recognize which text boxes we have written upon, and then there is just the ink recognizer stuff that is doing the recognition result, that is basically adding the text to my text box, right? That's it. Quite simple, and we added something that is very nice for a user experience. Let's go forward. Uh-huh. Now there is something nice to talk about. So now we are talking about ink, because last month it was introduced the Surface Studio, and the Surface Studio is a cool hardware, but the best, coolest thing that they presented was this device. The Surface DL. The Surface DL is something that it was introduced as a input device for creative, but I don't think it's just for creative. I think it's for everyone. So again, also this is not an hardware, this is a family, this is a radial family, right? So any other producer can produce their own version of DL. You have to implement just your code. I will show you in a while how to do it, and then you are done. You are supporting any other radial device that will come out. So on the user interface, on the operating system, Touch and Hold will show you a menu with some basic feature, and this basic feature can be so just like this is for being used on the non-dominant hand. So something like a user experience could be something that is inking, and then I am zooming, for example, right? So I have some base functionality that they will work natively for the operating system, such as zoom, scroll, undo, brightness. And then, let's see, this is actually an image of our application, Colaboard, where we extended the menu, and I will also show you how to do this and how it works. So, let's see something about the DL that is something. Have you seen before the DL? Okay, so this is just a page where I have a slider and a toggle switch, right? Nothing else. And then in the code behind, I am defining a Windows UI input radial controller. Again, this is the Surface DL, but can be anything. Radial controller. I am adding an icon, because what we are doing now is these are the operating system default icon. We want to add one or more icon that when our application is focused, we will have also this icon and this extended functionality for our application. So what we are doing is to define an icon or an icon. It depends on how many items we are adding to our menu. We are creating an item, and we are adding the item with a caption, with an header, and then we are adding the items to the collection of item of the radial item. And then we have just to subscribe to two events. The first one is the rotation. The rotation is, it has also an haptic feedback. So also this is configurable. What does it mean? That when I turn it, if you want to test it, please don't break it, because this is a preview, it's not available. You can make it turn. Okay, when you are not feeling anything, right? When I turn it here, when it's connected, I feel a vibration. So it's like a grid, like I'm moving a grid. You can pass over. It's like I'm moving a grid for having precision, right? So we were saying rotation. We subscribe to the event of the rotation, to the radial rotation, and we also subscribe to the click. So as soon as I launch this application, okay, this is now focused, right? Touch and hold. This is my new icon, right? This is new. This is not from the operating system. As soon as I select it, then what's going to happen is that, let's see before, it's that I can look at my finger. I am sliding with the radial. And also when I click, I can do an action. Now this is a sample, so it's based, it's a basic action. But again, our mission is to think. And also the support of a designer is important for this. Our mission is to think and understand how it can be integrated in any of each application. I will show in a while how we integrate it in our application, right? So if I subscribe to the two events, they are really simple. So I have clicked, and I have the toggle switch that I am moving from on to off. If I rotate it, I get a rotation, a value, a new value, and I can do something with the new value of the rotation, right? Now, this is very cool. The same team that is holding the inking is holding the DL. And this led to something that is very cool. Have you ever heard about the Ink Toolbar? The Ink Toolbar is a new control that was coming with the anniversary update. And basically, we can use the Ink Canvas in conjunction with the Ink Toolbar, and we have for free a lot of stuff. For example, I will show you. Okay, here I have the canvas, and here I have the Ink Toolbar. So I have pen, pencil, highlighter, and eraser, and also the ruler. Okay, and this is all for free. What we have to do with code is just to add the Ink Toolbar and to bind the Ink Toolbar to the Ink Canvas that we want that the toolbar control, right? So when we are inking, the color is changed. We don't have to write one line of code. We have to write actually two lines of code to have all this and to make our application even more personal. Imagine if on your application, on your UVP application, or as it is right now, what you can do is just add a layer, okay, enable ink, and users can take a note on your form, right? And then maybe they can share it. Okay, imagine that it is a picture and they can share it. Or imagine that it is a line of business application and one colleague want to send to another a mail and saying, look, is this just with the ink and pen, note, and send it. This is how to make more personal a user experience, an already beautiful experience, but made it even more personal. Now, to go back to the deal, by just adding this two line of XAML, I don't have any code behind there. You can see I don't have any code behind there. When the operating system feels that there is a DL, what happens, and that there is an ink toolbar, what happens is that it automatically add two new icons, pen and size. So I can, this is my non-dominant hand. So imagine that I am writing. I want to change the tool, right? Okay, and then I want to change also sizes, right? I'm doing it with the hand that usually I use just for typing. I feel, since when I got it in November in Seattle, this is a must for me. Now is mouse and deal. This is the equipment I'm going everywhere. And when it comes to ruler, I have a ruler. Look, I can rotate the ruler with the deal. And wow, I love that. Now, I want to show you, this is a production application that I'm working at IBV. And I want to show you how we integrated the deal in the application. So this is an application for the Surface app. We will talk later on about this UI. So I can create, let's load a project from my colleague, Corrado, that is working in office. I'm enjoying with you, he is working. Hi, Corrado. So, okay, we just integrated the deal. So what we can do right now is, I have just touch and hold, I made the touch and hold gesture. And what I can do, first of all, this is an infinite canvas. This is a big canvas. You can see over there a minimap, right? It's not that visible, but there is a minimap that you can scroll. You see, if I take with the touch, I can scroll for the canvas. So imagine the giant Surface app where I want to give the user an even more bigger or quite infinite canvas that they can store their ideas. So, first of all, I can zoom on the canvas, right? And then what I can do is, if I say, okay, now I want the Collaboard menu. I went in Collaboard functionality, and now when I touch, I have my custom radial menu. And I can do whatever I can do. This is before the deal. This was we was getting this radial menu out with the touch and hold. Now it was just an add-on to add the deal, but it's nice. It's very nice. So for example, I can go on settings, or I can do whatever I want. Okay. So that's about the deal. And the code is almost the same. We are not doing anything particular over there. So let's go back to the slide. And so let's talk about speech. So yes, this is our journey, and we arrived to speech. So every one of you knows Cortana. And with Cortana, what you can do is to, for example, launch the application, right? But there are some more usages that you can do with Cortana and with the speech recognizing, and also with the voice synthesizer, okay? So voice recognizing, it can be used also for example, for doing what? We are filling input boxes with ink, right? But if someone of you has a Windows phone, you can also fill the input box with voice. But I don't know why this control, it's not available on Windows 10 for tablet and other family device. So what I did is just to implement on the MPC extension that again are available online on GitHub. What I added is voice to text box. So, where is it? So let's go to the main page. Speechable text box. Okay. And here it is. So to use it is, it's just an extension of a text box. So you can use it. You have all the property of a text box, but what you have more is just a button where you can speech on your text box. And actually, you can use the ink to text box and the voice to text box together. So the user can, and this is what we are doing on Colaboard. So the user can do whatever he wants. So, hello, how are you? That's it. Okay? And again, I'm sorry, I don't have the ink, but if you can ink over there, you can also ink. So I think I have a video for this. Right.
We can use for that the pen, we can do it with our voice, or we can use the keyboard. As soon as the username is entered, click OK, and the project is created.
Or?
Now we see on the tile which...
Have you seen? This is the same.
Project is created. Name is entered.
Have you seen? This is a voice to text box that you can ink on. So we have extended a simple input field to be more natural. And when we had a couple of very good feedback from customer that they love this user experience, I can guarantee you this is something that maybe they don't feel or they don't know, but as soon as they discover, they will even more love your application. So, how it works there? I will briefly show you how it works, but again, you can just download, there is also a NuGet package, and use the control, or you can just implement, override the voice to text box. So, the voice to text box has a bit more being an extension of a text box, what I had to do, if we look over there, right? You see, there is a button. There is a button. So what I did in the template is just modifying the standard text box template to add a button, to add two new states for listening or not listening, that they are just enabling and disabling the button for so that when you speech you cannot hold the button or you can interrupt it. And then I'm just working with these events on the voice to text box. So there are a couple of define, and but the funny part is just it is just the speech recognizer, okay? So I am declaring the speech recognition constraint, so which type of speech recognition I want, a general one, a web search, and then I am starting the speech recognizer with some, and I'm waiting for the compilation result. If I have a result, oh, now keep in mind that this is based on a service, right? So Cortana is a service, so if you are not connected, your Cortana over there won't work, okay? And at the same time, your text box won't work, okay? But if you are connected, you can use it, you get the speech recognition, and you can then just fill the text property. And then there is, and I have to change it a bit because the user interface with the anniversary update for Cortana has changed. Before there was these words, So here is where when the speech recognizing is going, I am just, where is it? Here, where I am randomizing the result that there is with the words, right? If you go there, you can see that there are, and this was the same effect of Cortana before the anniversary update. Hello, how are you? Oh no, Cortana.
I pulled up some videos for you.
And there are some funny facts about Cortana. Now at the office I have my laptop, my main laptop, this is a giant brick. I have the touch-enabled one, I have a Surface Hub, I have the HoloLens. And then on the HoloLens, you can shut down the HoloLens with the voice. So just saying, hey Cortana, shut down. And the computer shuts down. The funny part is that it's good that a PC doesn't shut down, because if not, all my system will shut down with the same command. Okay, by the way, hello, how are you? Okay, this, you see this animation is done. It's done the other way. Now, if you see Cortana, the new one, hello, how are you? They have changed it. So this is another thing that we can do as community activity to change it. So anyone wants to help, just ping me on Twitter and I am available for doing that. So we was talking about speech. And now I want to show you how we use input commands inside Colabord. So this is another way to make it even more personal, right? I can start a functionality with the touch, with the pen, with the mouse, with the deal, but also with the voice. So what I can do is okay. We have some commands, okay? This is a bit more over-engineered because we are supporting more languages, but the clue is this. We define some commands like help, new project, settings, info, and then we have the speech recognizer. That is the same that I was using in the text box that I showed you, right? The only difference is that here I'm loading these commands from a JSON file because we are supporting a multi-language, right? So with this in mind, what you can do is, let's see some command because I don't remember it. So for example, search. Okay. So Colabord is running, I'm loading a project. Okay, and when I am on a project, I can right-click for search, and I call the search functionality. I can, for example, use the deal, or I can say search, and the search functionality appears. And this is nice. These little pieces that you have that make your user more comfortable by using your application. So, we talked about Cortana. Now, let's talk about identity. With Windows 10, a new authentication mechanism was introduced. And this mechanism is the Windows Hello and the Passport API. Windows Hello and Passport API are based on biometric authentication, so they support face, iris, and fingerprint again. You are aware about hardware. If the hardware works, if the fingerprint reader, if the iris reader, if your camera works on Windows, then you have this functionality enabled for free, and your API are the same. You develop one code just one time. So there is the Windows Hello part, that is the, let's say, client part, right? Where there is this, there is the biometric authentication. And then we have the passport part, the passport API, that simplify the authentication process, basically. And of course, there is a reduction of cost for the password. We have native API. There will be also JavaScript support. So how it works? Credential will be stored in the TPM SIP of the hardware we are storing, you are storing it, if the TPM SIP is present, right? So the security now on this is an hardware level, and is a level that is at the enterprise security, so quite high. When the biometric unlock your credential, your credential are used to create a nudge, and the nudge are sent to the server that knows you because you already subscribed it. Okay, so he has your public key, he can decrypt the nudge he sent, and the authentication process is done. So you don't have any more password that go on, that are going on the network. Even the man in the middle attack, that is the quite common attack, is not reliable anymore. It doesn't work because we are not sending user information through the internet. We are encrypting a nudge and we are sending to the server. And then the server decides if the nudge he received is good or not. So how to use it? We will see with a sample. So could a 4-digit PIN, because the PIN is also the base for a lot to work. You have to set up a PIN, and then upon the PIN you can define a face recognition, fingerprint, iris, or whatever. Yes, because the PIN is not stored on the machine itself. Okay, so this is for later. Let's have a look at how Windows Hello works. So, okay, I think we are going a bit longer. So, any one of you, when it's time, if wants to go, okay. Otherwise, if you want to wait, there is something. Okay, so authentication. Authentication is, the code itself, it's also quite simple, because we have just to verify if the Windows Hello is supported, right? So if Windows Hello is supported, then we have to open the credential manager. And just ask to the operating system, hey, operating system, please authenticate this user with the Hello and passport architecture. I don't have any system here, but I have the PIN, so I can sign in, and now it's everything is on the operating system. Our application is on hold. I have to authenticate with my face, with my biometrical data, and then just you are successfully authenticated. If I am not me, it's not possible to access these data that are protected through the authentication system. Your credentials are stored in the TPM SIP, and basically your private key is a two-factor authentication. So when you log in to a service, for example, to, I don't know, outlook.com, and you have a law, what you are doing is just to send to the Outlook server your public key. Your private key is stored in the TCAPM zip if it's present. If not, it's stored in another way the operating system is carrying. By the way, if you have a PC with the TCAPM zip, this is enterprise-grade security level, and you don't have to do anything. It's for free. When you authenticate with your biometrical factor authentication, you announce yourself to the server and say, hey, I'm Jan. Okay, please encrypt with your private key this nonce. Nonce is a number. It's something that it can be cryptographed, but the server has the unencrypted one. He wants that you encrypt with your private key, so you are you, to prove that you are you. With this system, you get this nonce encrypted, and you send it over the server. So no user and no password are sent. Then the server has the implementation part of it. It just decrypts it, check if you are really you or not, and then it says you, okay, you are free to access or not, right? Okay. Another important piece to make an experience even more personal released just some days ago, and we are talking about computer vision families, Kinect, Intel RealSense, Orbeck, or any other device supporting the vision family on Universal Windows. So this is just a sample from the Windows API sample set that I want to show you. But this is cool because also by integrating this on your application, it's something that will be really cool. Oh, I launched it again, okay. So. I want to show you first the effect, and then we will comment it. So say hello to Kinect, make some gestures. Hello, hello, okay. The API are recognizing that there is a camera supporting the Windows media frames and also the capabilities. So we have the depth frame, the infrared frame, and the color frame. And we can switch to the next source group, for example. And the next source group, if you see over there, is a is the Intel RealSense that now I didn't bring it here. So the image is basically freezed. It's the last frame the software acquired. There is anything basically. If I go ahead and say next source group. Okay, other two frames are stopped. I'm using just the camera on my laptop. Okay, so again, with Universal Windows, you have all the supported device with the same code. Because of this, again, is a revolution for me, the Windows 10 and the Windows 10 API set. Because before, I have to support the Windows, the Kinect SDK, the RealSense SDK, the Orbeck Astra SDK, and to make an application for supporting all is budget. The application will have a budget very expensive, and it will cost a lot of code. With the same code, now we can support them all. So, how this is used is quite simple, because if any one of you is familiar with Kinect, is almost the same concept. So we have the frame sources. So we have just to cycle and see which are our source info, and then based on the source info that we find, we can find some Media frame are for color camera, depth camera, RGB camera, or whatever. And then we have to display it. That's it, quite simple. Okay, now let's talk about touch and about the effective pixel challenge. If you go to the MSDN documentation, or maybe if you went to the MSDN documentation, you can read that you can create a universal Windows app, and this app has the potential to run on any Windows powered device. These are not all the families. The virtual reality one is missing, by the way. They are phone, tablets, desktop, and Surface Hub. Now, based on the pixel sense, effective pixel sense, pixel technology that is embedded in Windows 10, and so you have it for free on the API. When you develop XAML and you define that your button is 10 by 10 pixel, it will have the same perceived size from a phone, from a desktop, from a tablet, or from a Surface Hub 24 inch feet far away. But 24 feet far away are, sorry, 10 feet far away are 3 meters, okay? And now, this is the real challenge, because when I have a large scale touch display, I'm not looking at it at 3 meters. I'm interacting with it at the almost same distance I'm interacting with a tablet. Imagine I have the tablet, as you can see on this slide, I have the tablet on my hand and I am interacting with him, or on a Surface Hub and I am interacting with the hub. It's almost the same. So what this will cause is that for this engine, how is it is developed, you will have a giant button on the Surface Hub, and we will get these bad comments on newspaper when they say that CNN is spending a lot of money for a giant iPad. That's not true. It's a bad user interface. It's not. The hardware is awesome. We as developer, we have to design the right user experience for it. Okay. How to do it? Again, on the more on the MPC extension I wrote, there are some components. I will show it briefly. Let's stay on this slide, talking a bit about it. So, which is the real challenge when we can develop an application that, for me, I think there are different form factor. And this form factor depends on the user interaction. And these are touch, so a tablet and a phone. And with all the tools we have on Universal Windows, we can develop the same UI for tablet and phones. Desktop, because desktop is different between tablet. Desktop is a usage when the user is with keyboard and mouse, so it's more precise. You can give more fields to him. The user interface, imagine to a ERP, it can be very complicated, right? On a tablet, you can give the same user experience you are giving to a desktop. Then we have the Surface Hub, right? That is the last one. But the Surface Hub, which is the different with the Surface Hub? So to make resume, we have phone, tablets, desktop, and large screen display. The Surface Hub is a giant display where more than one user can use it at the same time. So to develop an application that works good in a Surface app, we have to go just back to the Surface Table version 1, to the concept of the scatter view and the scatter view item, where we have these badging items over the canvas. So let's take Collabor. This is a Surface app application, custom designed. The UI is designed for the Surface app, so for the team family, large screen display. Okay.
Yeah. So
if I start it, and if I load a project, this is the concept: tiles. So anyone, if we have a giant 84-inch display and we have 4 or 5 people working, anyone can work with a tile, can interact with it, can ink on it, can do something. I can work with this tile, you can work on this tile, and anyone else can work on this tile. This is the concept and the difference. And again, on the MPC extension, we have developed the scatter view and scatter view item that are this base concept coming from the Surface Table on the Universal Windows application, right? So I won't show you the implementation because this is quite complicated, but I will show you how to use it, because this is pretty simple. So let's go to the main page of our project and what we can do. Okay, they are saying me that we are over time. So scatter view simple scenario. So again, we are over time. So anyone wants to leave, you are free to go.